Yeah? To grace, how great a debtor. Amen. Well, that says it right there.
Amen.
All right, Friday night, we're glad to be back. I have a question before Mrs. Wonderful comes and we sing again. Who exactly was in charge of praying for the weather? That's what I'm interested in knowing. Whose job was it? Okay, David Kincaid. That explains it all. You don't let Marines pray for the weather. They like nasty weather. Good to be saved.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Okay, let's get this out here. You men look good back there. Look like Secret Service. Hot lips and all. Amen. Say that? What?
Where were the feds?
Yeah. I recognize that. I think it was a haircut gave it away there, bro. All right. We have some visitors from Beeville.
Kennedy, Beeville.
Bible Baptist.
Yeah.
Good to see you folks. I preached there. Were you there when I preached there years ago?
No.
Okay. Where?
At the conference.
Okay. I don't know. We got a little personal there, didn't we? Let's sing. We're glad you're here. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you, He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you, nor forsake you. And His word is true, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in His heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners and so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in His heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans He has for me, my life is in His hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. He's so good. God is good all the time. I was at home in Dayton between, going back and forth across the country. We were home for about a week. Had something to deal with, probably a vehicle issue. I can't remember what it was, but I was burdened with something and running around trying to get things taken care of. And there wasn't nothing on the radio worth listening to, and there hardly ever is. And I'm flipping through some CDs that I had, and I found a CD from a family up in Minnesota, and they had recorded it, and they had a bunch of kids, and they played a lot of instruments, and they're good, and it was a real blessing. I put it in and started listening to it. Now, some of the songs I'd heard before, and some of them I hadn't, and they were real good, and I was getting a blessing, but then that song came on. And that, I don't know what it was that I was worried about or grieving over, but that song, and I listened to it, and I pushed the button, and I listened to it again, and again, and again, probably about 10 times. And whatever it was on my mind, it was gone. I was having a revival in the car, driving around. I'm talking about crying. I'm talking about praising the Lord. I pulled up to a light, and it was one of the things where, like, you know, you could tell people were looking at you. So I look over, and they turn away real quick, you know. And I look over the other way, and they did the same thing. And I just, well, here's an opportunity. And I rolled all four of the windows down in that old blue Jeep we had. I rolled the windows down, and I said, listen to this. And I cranked it up as loud as it would go. When I got home, I ejected that CD. I took it in the house. Put in a CD player and told my wife, listen to this. And we both had revival.
Amen.
And she started playing it. God's good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I had something else, but I'm gonna read it. God, Bible says the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So God was doing that, beholding the evil and the good, and he was getting a little grieved that he was seeing a whole lot more evil than good. So he called up one of his angels and sent him down to earth to check it out, see if it was as bad as it looked. And the angel came back and said, yeah, it's pretty bad. About 95% are misbehaving. And God thought about it and said, well, I better get a second opinion. He sent down another angel, and the guy brought back the same report. And God was not pleased, so he said, man, if only 5% are doing right, you know, then I better figure out a way to encourage them so that, you know, at least the 5% will stay by the stuff. And he decided to send an email to them to encourage them. Know what it said? You didn't get one? This actually says, you didn't get one either, but I didn't add that. Amen. 2 Kings tonight, chapter 20. 2 Kings, chapter 20. Verse 1. Bible says this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That'll preach for every one of us. Because every one of us has got an appointment with death.
Right.
Amen. The Bible said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, actually, you got an appointment not only with death, but you got an appointment with judgment. Amen. You know why we have a meeting like this? To get you better ready for the judgment. First of all, you don't want to be at the white throne judgment. That's where lost people go.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, you don't want to end up with the Lord Jesus Christ as your judge. But if you are saved, you got an appointment to give an account for the life he bought for you at the judgment seat of Christ. And nobody's getting out of either one of them appointments. Even if they're, the exception might be that the Lord took the church out of here and we didn't see physical death, so you're not getting out of that next appointment. So that's why we preach, and that's why we give you an opportunity to meditate on what's been preached so that you can make spiritual adjustments as necessary so that you're more ready to give an account up there, more ready to be a vessel meet for the master's use down here. That'll preach. Set thine house in order. That's not the message tonight, but that's just, how do you get around that? Verse number 2. Then he turned his face, Hezekiah, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, Lord, O Lord, remember now how much... All right, let's do it right. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord." Amen. He says, I have heard thee. God's a prayer. Our God is a prayer-hearing God.
Amen.
But what I want to preach on tonight, the words that got my attention, and I believe the Lord gave me this message on this thought. He said, I have seen thy tears.
Amen.
And there's something I'm seeing that's lacking, even in the church. Obviously, in the church these days are tears.
Right.
And so I want to preach tonight on this title, Where Are the Tears? And before I pray, just let me throw this out there for you. Think about, when's the last time he saw any of yours? You know, we've heard so much good preaching through the years in the Bible-believing crowd that we come to church like this, and I'm talking about receiving it with a good spirit or maybe with a pen and a paper and taking notes and more with an attitude like, well, let's see what this guy's got, than we are really interested in subjecting ourselves humbly, prayerfully to the Holy Ghost of God, that God might bear witness to an area in our life that we can deal with honestly, so that when we leave out, we're better than when we came. I mean, I'm talking about the cream of the crop is to a point where we're just coming in and going out and coming in and going out and nothing is changing. When's the last time God saw any of your tears? I was talking with a preacher friend of mine one time. We were discussing the fact that, and again, I'm a Bible believer. I'm talking about in our crowd, good people, saved people that love God, people that are busy for God, volunteer to do things, how they come and listen to preaching, no reaction, no response. Why is that? And you know it says over there somewhere, I don't have the verse because I don't have the verse off the top of my mind, but it said, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. You know what we come up with? Probably part of the problem is the lack of a second witness. In other words, preaching's a witness for sure, but if you're not reading your Bible at home, if you're not praying at home, if you don't have any personal time with the Lord, all the preaching in the world is not enough to move you. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Where's the other witness? Amen. So, the question tonight is, where are the tears? When's the last time God saw any from you? I'm not talking about when you didn't get your way. Or when you reaped what you sowed. Busted, you know, we got tears that, oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you a whole outline on what I'm talking about. It says, here's maybe part of the problem. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, you be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And you know what I'm seeing as we travel around? We're a little short on tenderhearted. We got enough Bible in us where we're real good at slice and dice. But we're not as good at being kind and tender-hearted, maybe, as we need to be. Somehow, somebody has talked us into thinking that's a sign of weakness. And I'm okay. I'm a man. I'm a tough guy. I'm a fighter. I'm a soldier. But before all that, I'm a Bible believer. And Ephesians chapter 4 is about as gun-barrel straight, doctrinally applicable to you and I, if you're saved, as you can get. And it says we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Forgiving.
Amen.
Tough guy.
Amen.
Tough gal. Amen. We're running a little short on it. I heard somebody say one time, real men don't cry.
Amen.
Really? Jesus did.
Amen.
Paul did.
Amen.
David did.
Amen.
Hezekiah did. Amen. That's a crowd I want to be associated with.
We need to get our tears back. Father in heaven, I come to you once again and I pray and ask that you'd help me say something that would be directed by you tonight. That's what we need. We need your help. There's smarter people, better experienced people in here than me. There always has been. God, if you don't manifest yourself, it will be good to be here. It's good to be with God's people. It's good to rally around your book. Lord, it's good to sing those songs that honor and exhort and glorify Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be a wasted night. But God, we come here desiring a touch from Thee.
Amen.
And the thing I know about you is you're not playing hard to get. You're more interested in it than we are. Help us to be more interested in being sensitive to the Spirit of God for a little while tonight. And we'll thank you for that if we could submit ourselves to that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, so number one, where are the tears? Take your Bible, go to Matthew 18. Where are the tears over the Lord's presence in a service? I mean, the Lord's presence. Listen, I know it says in Matthew 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Again, we don't have to beg God to show up. Amen. He's the third one in the door.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm talking about, let me just illustrate like this. Now, maybe our church used to have camp meetings in July. Big meeting, a lot of preachers would come. It was good. It was just what I needed because I was brand new to Christianity, Bible Christianity. And it was a blessing to me. We went day and night for 5 days. And again, you need a lot of it. I get it. About the fourth night, people were getting excited. Because they've been doing business with God, and the messages were more exhorting than convicting. And that's the progression. Reprove, rebuke, and then exhortation comes. People are getting excited and hooping and hollering a little bit, and I'm not charismatic and I'm no compromiser, but I think it's okay to enjoy the Lord once in a while.
Yeah.
I agree with what Brother Brian said. I think a lot of saved folks, if we're all going to get up there to heaven and let's say at the rapture, and a bunch of people are going to get ushered into where the Lord is on the throne, and then there's going to be, it's going to say, worship 101. Some of you are going to spend about 1,000 years in that class. I don't want to go to school anymore. I want to go to where He is.
Amen.
I'm practicing now.
Amen.
I'm sitting in this service and everybody's excited. These people have been saved for years. And it's a little wild. It's a little kooky, you know. But I tell you what was kookier than the way anybody else was acting. Me, Dave Spurgeon, started crying. I'm not talking about boo-hooing all over the place and filling up a box of napkin or tissues. I'm talking about tears started, and I'm going, whoa, I'm thinking like, whoa, bloody, see, what's going on here, you know? And I was really honestly just trying to figure it out. What's happening? This isn't me. This isn't normal. And I did figure it out. He was there.
Amen.
The Lord's presence was so real. And I mean, we couldn't handle it. We're going to need a glorified body to deal with that all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, it was memorable. That was 28 years ago. Amen. And it's happened since. But I'll tell you what, I mean, have you ever had that happen? As the Lord's present, I mean, have you ever felt the Holy Spirit so present in a message or in a service? It doesn't have to be a message. I've seen the Holy Ghost, I mean, really move because somebody would stand up and give a sincere testimony of God's goodness. And I've seen God just bless that thing. I've seen people sing, not the prose,
right. But
I've seen people sing with a sincere heart. And I've seen the Holy Spirit move through a church and the altar fill up over a song service. Now we can't get people to fill the altar up. What's wrong? What's the problem? What happened? Maybe we lost our tears. Maybe we need to get back a hold of some of this tenderheartedness Amen. Toward God and toward God's people. Maybe we'd be more sensitive. Brother Brian said it, we get easily distracted by our own agendas. And sometimes, Amen. I mean, that's what the deal is. Here we are 10 days in a row, but you only do this, what, once a year, twice a year?
Amen.
Well, what about between the midweek and Sunday? What do you do the rest of the year?
Amen.
You can get so distracted. We need to stay close to God because you can get so distracted by your own agendas and the cares of this life that we're all subject to that, man, God shows up, we don't even realize it.
Amen.
And somebody else is over there, you know, tearing up or praising the Lord. You're going, what's wrong with them? Maybe because God's there.
Yeah.
How come you didn't know it? Amen. I've seen him sneak in a song, and I've seen God sneak out. When the unholy Trinity makes its presence known. What are you talking about? I mean, unholy Trinity I'm talking about is me, myself, and I. Boy, and I've seen a service going real good, and just somebody gets up and gives a testimony or sings a song, and next thing you know, they're saying I more than Lucifer in Isaiah 14. And God says, okay. He's a gentleman. And I've seen him walk right out. I'm serious. I hope you can follow what I'm trying to say. The best thing could ever happen in a service is for God really to get real, to make His presence known in a personal way to you. That ought to be your desire. You don't come to church challenging God. Well, let's just see. Man, you come looking for it. And you come praying for it. Praying for it before the church service. God, please. And He will. But if He hasn't made His presence known, I challenge you to do some examinating. Is that a word? As to why. The question tonight, the title, the message, where are the tears? Amen. We need God to manifest Himself. We say that. It isn't, the holdup isn't Him. So but I got to warn you, if he does manifest Himself in the way that I pray, might bring some tears. Hope that's okay with you. I pray for it. I need it. That keeps Him who He is and me who I am. Not much. We sang that song, God is good, all the time. I've been to meetings where if somebody says, God is good, and it's automatic. I mean, it's in the script all the time. And that's what we do. We get regimented like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And then sometimes, even the hymns, we sing them so many times, we don't even see the words anymore.
Yes, sir.
Anymore. There is more sound doctrine in those hymnals than's coming across the pulpit of most churches in America.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and we're singing about, are we looking at Him anymore? Are we looking at what we're singing? We've gotten used to it. We got the words memorized. Our mind's a million miles away, and we're going through it. It needs to get real to us again. I mean, really real. I mean, for our sake, for our kids' sake. And if it would, some of these other things about reaching a lost and dying world, some of that stuff will start falling into place. We don't need a program. We don't need a brainstorming seminar to figure out how to reach the lost. We need it to get real again. Amen. So, number two, where are the tears over God's goodness to you? God's goodness to you.
Amen.
Preaching to you.
Amen. Yeah.
You know what? I got doing this years ago. And I mean for the sincerest of reasons. People would say, "How you doing, Brother Dave?" And I would say, "Better than I deserve." Yeah. And that, buddy, that's an understatement. The same is true for every single one of us. It says, I wrote it down, Job 11 and verse 6 says, Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. We're all doing better than we deserve. I don't try not to say that anymore because that guy on the radio, that finance, Dave Ramsey, he said that was driving me insane. I know people that know more about his opinion than they do Jesus Christ. I don't like that. Amen. So I quit saying, "How you doing? Better not learn. I'm going, help me stop saying that. Amen. But that doesn't shit. Got to laugh out of one person. I brought a ringer in with me. Amen. But that doesn't change the fact that it's true. And I'm going to tell you what, God's goodness ought to get real to you sometimes. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm warning you, it might bring some tears. How about this? Go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I sit in church. I preach. I preach churches week in and week out. I got people rolling their eyes. They don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. It ain't never been real to them. Well, I wonder if some of them got anything more going for them than some little 1, 2, 3 repeat after me prayer. I feel sorry for you. That's you tonight. Psalm 107 and verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His what?
Goodness.
For His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And, you know, are you picking up on a pattern here? I mean, do you think God did have a reason when He repeats Himself? Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. God says, oh, that men would praise the Lord.
Amen.
For His goodness.
Amen.
And for His wonderful works to the children of men. I challenge you tonight. Does God ever get really, really real to you? I'm going to help you with something. I'm going to help you get that thing in perspective. Just start thinking about where you were when you realized you were headed to hell, the condition your life was in, when you were lost and, again, comprehended, not just heard it, read it, but, I mean, you got to believe in your heart. I'm going to tell you what you got to believe in your heart to get a grasp on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You better get a hold of this in your heart. You die in your sin, you're going to hell.
Right. Amen.
And you ever get a hold of that and realize what Jesus Christ did to keep you out?
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't it a crying shame that we can be saved so long that somehow diminishes? It does. We're carnal. We're in the flesh. That's why we got to stay in the book. That's why we got to come to church. That's why we need revival. To keep this thing real. The flesh will push it down. The Holy Ghost will bring it back. Keep it right there. It'll keep things in perspective.
Amen.
Might even bring a tear or two. Now, I preach out in California. And before you say anything silly, there's some real good Christians out there. Not a lot of them. Not many compared to the need. Same with New York. New York City. I tell people I'm going to New York City. I preach in Staten Island, the Bronx, Brooklyn, in Jersey side there. And people say, Brother Spurgeon, you go to New York? And I'm thinking, man, I have a great time. I know some really cool people. And I have fun with them. And I said, yeah. I said, why? And they said, how can you go there? There's so much sin. I thought we were in the ministry.
Yeah.
Where are we supposed to go? North Carolina? I mean, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, is that where we're supposed to stay? Not that there's not a great need there. Every sin in New York or California is in North Carolina and Texas. They just got a pretty good concentration. I go out there, I got good friends of it. I've gone out there about 18 years. And sometimes we like we make a little free time and see the sights. I mean, I'm for seeing the sights. I have a great time. I don't apologize for having a good time. I went to Alamo today, which is what caused me to wonder who's praying for the weather, because there was hailing. And anyway, so we're going to California. I told my wife, we had about an extra 4 or 5 days, and I said, you know, we've been just about everywhere we know of. I said, where would you like to go? Anything you haven't seen yet you'd like to see? And she says, we're going to Los Angeles. And she says, well, I've never seen the Golden Gate Bridge. That'd be all right. That'd be cool. And I said, okay, you got it. She didn't know it was 500 miles north. And 500 miles to me is nothing. 500 miles to my pastor friend is nothing. And I says, hey, man, we got a couple extra days. Let's get the family. And I had kids. And, you know, we packed a lunch and went to San Francisco for a couple days. Yeah, I don't want to go into what I think about all San Francisco. But I'll tell you what, we had a good time. We were down at Fisherman's Wharf. We had shrimp. We had clam chowder in a bowl. But out there in San Francisco Bay is an island. And I didn't even think about it. That wasn't why I wanted to go up there. The only reason I wanted to go up there is for her to look at the Golden Gate Bridge. And we said, well, let's do it. It was operated by the National Park Service. You get on a little boat, take it out there to Alcatraz, and now it's a big museum. And we went out there. All of us went out there and toured it. Now I'm standing outside, long line, you know, walking up the hill, going into this prison that was shut down in, I think, 1964, 63 or 64, the worst prison, federal prison we had there for a long time. And I thought, okay, cool. I've been in prison ministry for years. I mean, I'm not freaked out by the doors or nothing, like people say. We got up there, and everything's going fine, and we're reading all the things. We got the audio tour and all this stuff. There's a group where there was, what, 6 of us, and we're going along, and over here is where the Birdman, you know, lived, and over here is where Al Capone, and then they took us down a cell block, just a normal, regular cell block. And we got walking, and I squared off in front of a cell. I'm listening to this thing, and I squared off in front of a cell about 5 by 8. And it was identical to the cell I got saved in. About the same size, old school, not stainless steel toilet, nothing fancy. Wasn't a pod like they put people in nowadays. Just old school, bare bones cell. And I stood there for a minute, and I mean, it all came back to me. And I was speechless. And the auto tour kept on going, and my family and the pastor and everybody kept on going. It wasn't too long. I was standing there looking in that cell, looking at that cell, and I'm the only one in the cell block. Everybody's gone. And it all, like I said, it all came back that morning. The reality came crashing down. I was looking at the rest of my life in federal prison, and a preacher came in and said, yeah, and you're going to hell too. And in that place, a cell just like that in Dayton, Ohio, I give my heart, my life, I gave him everything I had. He took it. It got real. You know, I tore myself away. I wandered around. I caught up with the family. They could tell that I was definitely emotionally touched, whatever that means. And I never spoke again in that prison. That tour went on another half hour, 45 minutes. And I'm just like, something's going on between me and God. And it wasn't until we got outside that I was able to even take a deep breath and thank God. It got so real. God's goodness got so real to me. You ever had that happen?
Amen.
You need to have that happen.
Amen.
on occasion. I get the cares of this life. I get all that. But boy, I'll tell you what we need is to get back to the main thing, get back to the reality of God's goodness. Because He didn't owe you nothing. He don't owe you the breath you're breathing right now. He sure didn't owe you His only begotten Son. But He gave Him, didn't He? Here's what I'm saying. Real gratitude for what the Lord did will be manifested in more than just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, see you in heaven. And we just go on our way and live our little life. That ain't it, man. That ain't going to work. Real gratitude. I'm trying to remind you. I know you know it. A real gratitude for what Jesus Christ did for you will change the way you live.
Amen.
Period. Across the board. If you don't have any desire within you whatsoever, to be grateful for what Jesus Christ did, either you're not saved, or you are cold on God, so cold. And I would do anything I could to help that situation be remedied. Because God's good.
Amen.
Real gratitude for what the Lord did will change how you live. Change your life. But I want to say something to you. Lack of it. Lack of gratitude for what God did. That'll change your life too. Romans chapter 1. They started out let's begin in verse 21. Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Vain means only thing they were thinking about was themselves. Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen, regardless of what anybody else does.
Amen.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, turned and burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense for their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all, look at the list, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. What? Disobedient to parents? Made that list? Evidently God takes that more seriously than some of us do. Doesn't that show up in 2 Timothy chapter 3? As well with traitors and heady and high-minded and without natural affection. This is a result of lack of gratitude.
Amen.
I'll say it again. Real gratitude will change your life. Lack of it will too. This crowd began with neither were thankful. And it says in verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I know Christians right now that I don't doubt are saved, that are guilty of everything we just read, including every vile, perverse thing that's in that list. You want to make that to the lost world? You're going to have to tamper with the doctrine to do it. Because a Christian that stopped being thankful, stopped worshiping God, gets cold on God, can end up in that list. I've seen it happen. And the key to that thing, to me, is neither worth thankful. When's the last time you shed any tears over God's goodness? Amen. I think it'd be worthy of shedding some tears over. Amen. Where are the tears over God blessing someone else? God blesses somewhere else. Have you prayed for a brother or sister or a situation and then God answered their prayer and they gave the report, however they gave it, and I mean, you are just so glad that God delivered it, that God answered their prayer, that you maybe had a tear or two for somebody else. You know, it's easier it's easier to do when everything's going good for you. Let me ask you, have you ever done that when you're going through a rough time? Amen. Amen. It's easier to be happy for someone else when you're doing okay. But if you're not doing okay, maybe you're in a trial yourself. And it's easy to think, well, what's the deal there? It should have been me. You should rejoice when God blesses somebody else. Here's why. It means he's still in the blessing business. We had a guy, my motorhome was in terrible condition. We were making it a matter of prayer. And I don't know how we are going to make it from one place to the next. And God gave a new motorhome to somebody else. I was thrilled to death. Yeah, because that meant God's still giving out motorhomes. And mine was around the corner. It came. Amen. Sometimes when we're struggling with something and God blesses somebody else, we can have an attitude like, hey, what's up? Right. And you rob yourself of a blessing when that happens because the Bible says a sound heart is the life of a flesh, but envy is rottenness. Envy, the rottenness of the bones. So we do well to rejoice when God blesses others. Amen. I mean, really rejoice. Again, it means he's still in the blessing business. Your day might be coming. Unless envy gets in there. Where are the tears? Where are the tears over a brother or sister falling into sin? Now, Dr. Ruckman said, you don't fall in, you dive in. And some of us dove in. I get what he's saying. But I want you to get what I'm saying. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 1 says, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. I've seen this. It blows my mind. I know people that get I'm talking about in our crowd, get a morbid thrill out of hearing and then repeating bad news. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Amen. It ought to break your heart when a Christian messes up. It really should. It said in 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 20, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Listen, there is great delight amongst the devil's crowd to hear when a child of God messes up.
Right.
Don't repeat it. Don't make that crowd happy. We got I don't know how we heard about it, whether it was a call, but we heard about someone, I'm going to keep this as vague as I can, someone that we knew that was serving God who got about the worst possible report about their son that you could get outside of death. And that might have been better. And me and her looked at each other. I think we heard it from somebody else. And I don't want to hear that. And her and I made a covenant with each other. We're in the back of that old Greyhound bus. And her and I made a covenant with each other that no one would ever hear about that from her and I. What a sad thing. There are things that don't need to be discussed over the dinner table, that don't need to be gossip fodder. There are some things that just need to be committed to God in prayer. And I'm saying it again, some get a morbid thrill, and somehow they can make, oh, you better pray for so-and-so, because they're a... No. That's wicked. Amen? I mean, it ought to break your heart, because you need to remember something, man. There, but by the grace of God, it could be you. Amen. I know people that when they hear about somebody messing up, especially somebody they didn't like, said, yeah, I'm not surprised. I knew something was wrong there. Let me tell you something. If that pulls your trigger some way, any way, shape, or form, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
We're talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ here. You think it's all about you? It ought to break your heart. You ought to pray for him, because I'm going to tell you what, you might be doing real good right now. Outside of the grace of God, it could still be you.
Amen.
We're not done yet. We haven't arrived. Amen. We need to get our tears back. Amen. We need to pray over God's goodness. We need to, rejoice. I mean, it might bring some tears.
Amen.
We need to rejoice over God's goodness to others. Amen. We need to rejoice. I'm not rejoiced. We need to shed some tears maybe when God, when somebody else messes up on God. Bible says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. I can see why we don't do that. That's the catch right there. That's where the proof is. Some of us aren't very spiritual. It said, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Where are the tears? Where are the tears over people going to hell?
Amen.
What about that? Boy, we sit back, we can judge them. We can pick them apart. But their souls, Jesus Christ died for, just same as you and me. You know what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 31? He said, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You know, you get up, your little programs going, whether it's visitation or going to a ministry, whether it's a jail or a nursing home or whatever it is, or going down to the street, pass out tracts, street preach. You know what would be a good way to start? Maybe you do it that way. But you know it would be a real good thing to really take whatever outreach or effort that is, and I mean pray. I mean pray sincerely. I'm telling you what, when you get a grasp on the fact that you're stepping out with an opportunity to reach a lost person with the life-changing, life-giving, everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, that ought to be a little overwhelming. But like I say, we've been doing this so long, it's as we rolls off our tongue, we know the verses. Yeah, we start talking about, yeah, last time, man, we won. So, man, it's got to get back to being real.
Amen.
Amen. It needs to. Amen. People are dying and going to hell. It says in Luke 19, verse 41, and when he was near, that he is him. When he was near, he beheld the city. He's looking at Jerusalem, and he wept over it. When's the last time you shed any tears over San Antonio?
Right.
I went down to Alamo today. I've been driving around. I got news for you. If you're not aware of this, there's a lot of sin here.
Yeah.
And I know you are aware of it. But there's a lighthouse here, too.
Yeah.
Amen. And this lighthouse has made a difference in some of your lives. But God's not done. Because we're still here. God will let you know when it's okay to slack up. but until he comes, amen. We need to be concerned over souls. When's the last time you prayed for this city, for this county? When's the last time you prayed for our country? I mean, I run with some people, I don't agree with them. They say America's done, there's no hope, and they'd quote the abortion things and the sodomites. I get that, I understand that. But I tell you what, God's good to us. We came, pulled up in the driveway and came in tonight. We're not sneaking in here.
Amen.
This thought occurred to me. What do communists, Muslims, and too many Bible believers have in common? I'm going to tell you. They hate America. It's become popular. All the other people, they hate America. They want to overthrow it. But some of our guys are just so negative, doom and gloom. Amen. Let me tell you something. If America is doomed, it isn't because of the Illuminati or the liberals. That crowd is no match for the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
And I get it. I'm a rightly divider. I understand the age and time. I know it's going to... I get that. But let's not add to it.
Yeah.
If America is doomed, it's because Christians no longer weep and pray for her.
Amen.
Amen. And here's what I'd say last of all. Where are the tears over your sin?
Amen.
Your sin.
Amen.
Let me ask you like this. Why doesn't it bother you? Why doesn't it bother you as much as it should that you've got sin in your life that bothers the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
I'm not talking about sins that you're struggling with. We all struggle with things. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We're tempted by different things. We have different struggles. Amen. We're frail, man. But I'm telling you what, I know some Christians, they won't even admit to themselves they got a problem. And we all have problems.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible says this. In other words, I'm not talking about the sins you're struggling with. I'm talking about the ones you're not.
Yes, amen.
And should be.
Amen.
Man, we get victory over so many things and we just start coasting.
Yes.
I got victory over so many things. I had a lot of work to do. So that's why I probably still do. But I was a dope addict. I was a drunk. Well over 20 years. Amen. And God took that stuff away the minute I got saved.
Yes.
I was in jail. That helped. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not claiming any great character. I was locked up. I mean, and he kept me in jail after I got saved long enough to really cement that thing. But I smoked for 23 years. What about that? Well, I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get back to a pack of cigarettes. I didn't even realize that wasn't good. That wasn't a sin compared to all the things I was doing. And it didn't take long to figure out that's not good. That's not pleasing to God. I struggled with that for years after I got saved. I would go to the altar and say, God, I'm so ashamed of myself that this stupid little thing's got such a hold on me. And I said, I need you to help me. You didn't give it to me, but if you don't take it away from me, I'm never going to have the testimony for you that I'd like to have, and I need help, and I would ask for help. And I got an altar one night, and I said, God, you know me. I'm just talking about it makes me want to smoke one. And I've thrown away 20 packs of cigarettes and 50 Bic lighters. And I said, you know, smoke one, throw them out, brokenhearted, go buy another one the next day. And you think $2, I don't know what they are now. But at $2 a pack, I was paying $2 a piece. Boy, I'll tell you what, God gave me victory over that. You know why? Because I didn't just write it into the script. I know Christians that got victory over some big areas and say, well, that's compared to so-and-so, I'm doing pretty good. And they just, it's not okay. The Bible says in James 4, therefore to him that knoweth to do good. And I know something about this church. You know. You know what that Bible says. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's easy to get back into the mindset, well, compared to so-and-so.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't find that in the Bible believer. Where is the tears over the sin in your own life? I know a lot of Christians that know what's right, but they're not doing right. They're not doing right. There ought to be some tears when you recall. Maybe this will help you. It helps me. When you recall, we're talking about sin. When you recall what Jesus Christ had to do to make a way for your sin to be forgiven.
Amen.
He died for our sin. I get that. But I'll tell you a verse that got a hold of me one day over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 20. And it says this, for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin.
Yeah.
We're used to death. We're going to die. We know people that have died. Jesus died. He was God, though. He rose from the dead. I'm going to tell you something. We cannot comprehend, no way, not even close, can we comprehend what it was like for He who knew no sin to become sin. For that's what Jesus Christ did for you and I. And we can't even fathom it. But I'm going to tell you what, an honest effort ought to help you want to try harder to get victory over sin. You got something going on in your life and it don't bother you like it should, I would encourage you to reevaluate some things in your life and for the glory of Jesus Christ begin to pursue victory in that area. Not for bragging rights, for the glory of God. And you'll be glad you did. Again, none of us have arrived. God told Hezekiah, I have seen thy tears. And I know this. You know what we need? You know what our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we talk about iron, sharpened iron, all that hardcore stuff, I like that stuff. But you know what? You know what this church needs? You. To get your tears back. You know what this? You know what your children need? They need you to get tenderhearted about the things that are important to God again. So it'll be real to them. You know what San Antonio needs or wherever you're from? They need us to get our tears back over sin. Like I say, we got enough Bible in us to be dangerous. We can slice and dice. That would have never won me. I told a street preacher one time, if anybody would have ever said what you just said to that guy and that girl, if anybody would have ever said, and I never ran across it, ever said that to me, I'd have knocked every tooth in their mouth out, wouldn't have thought nothing about it, would have went to jail for it, didn't even care back then. Nobody's going to be one with that kind of spirit. We need to get our tears back. And I'm going to tell you what, the manliest of men that ever lived knew when to shed a tear. So all that phony, baloney, tough guy junk ain't impressing nobody. Amen? Where are the tears? Now, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you're wondering, what in the world? Let me tell you something. The Bible says that if you die before you get saved, you will spend eternity weeping, wailing, gnashing your teeth in a place called hell. And I'm here to tell you, you don't want any part of that. The Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I can answer that. Nothing. Nothing's worth it. Don't risk it. Yeah. Brother Brian made it clear. This church exists to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're not saved in here tonight, you've never been born again, you've never asked. See, sometimes we just think everybody understands all our terminology. And I didn't understand any terminology. When I prayed and asked for forgiveness, I didn't even know to ask to be saved. I didn't know that. But I knew what forgiveness was. And that's what we're talking about. If you're in here and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin, if you've never got a hold of this in your heart, that's what that whole thing with the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection was all about? No, it was all about making forgiveness available.
Amen.
If you've never asked for it, you never got it, you need to get it. And you can get it. It's a gift. It's free. Let's stand. There are the tears tonight. We need to get our tears back.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, really. All right, come on, whoever.